Susan and Barbara went out first, and as the doctor moved to follow them, Ian asked, "What forced the doors open then, Doctor?" "The pressure of the atmosphere into which we were materializing, my boy, multiplied some 60 or 70 times." The doctor glanced back around the brightly lit TARDIS control room, which was humming quietly with energy, and apparently very much its normal self. "Yet we seem to have come out of it unscathed. At the moment it's a complete mystery to me." "We seem to be in a mountain pass or something," called Barbara from outside the door. Ian and the doctor hurried outside, and the doctor closed the TARDIS doors behind them. They found Susan and Barbara staring up at the walls of a kind of canyon. The doctor scanned the high rock walls stretching away to the left and right. They were broken up on either side and in both directions by junction points with other canyons, leading in turn, the doctor guessed, to yet more canyons. It was as though they were standing in a giant maze. "Now why wouldn't the scanner show us this?" he demanded indignantly. "Perhaps that was the only damage the ship suffered," suggested Ian. "Some kind of overloading on the scanner circuits." "I suppose it's possible," admitted the doctor grumpily. He preferred his own solutions to those offered by others. He peered at the canyon wall. "Strange sort of rock formation, Chesterton?" "Yes, it is, isn't it?" said Ian thoughtfully. Barbara came to join them. A born teacher, she was always eager to impart useful information. "There are two different kinds of rocks. Have you noticed? This top part is stone, but the underneath part is quite different." "Very observant, my dear," said the doctor dryly. "And what's this, Chesterton? Look here, is it concrete?" Ian bent down and looked where the doctor was pointing. "Might be, but a very rough kind, surely," mused the doctor. Ian nodded thoughtfully. "Yes, it is. Maybe it's a new kind, sort of pebbles of sand." "Something manufactured anyway," said the doctor. "Made to keep this great stone in place, to fix it firmly to the ground beneath." Susan looked puzzled. "I would have thought this rock was big enough to stay where it was anyway, without sticking it down." "Yes, it's all very odd," muttered the doctor. He rose and looked around him. They seemed to be at some sort of junction, with canyons straggling away both to left and right. "Well now," said the doctor briskly, "obviously we must explore. I suggest that Barbara and I explore this pass to the left, Chesterton, while you and Susan go to the right." Ian Chesterton sighed. This was the doctor at his most aggravating, he thought, taking charge, giving orders, and sending himself and everyone else straight into danger. He looked hard at the doctor, and the doctor looked back defiantly, eyes alight with mischievous challenge. "All right," said Ian resignedly, "but stay within calling distance. Sing out if you find anything, and we'll do the same." "Yes, yes, yes," said the doctor, and bustled Barbara away. As always, he was eager to discover the secrets of their new and strange environment. They moved along the left-hand branch of the canyon, the doctor peering at the walls and muttering to himself, while Barbara looked ahead. It was Barbara who saw the strange object draped across the wall of the canyon just in front of them.
"Look, Doctor! What's that tube thing?"
She moved a little closer and then drew back with a gasp of horror.
"It seems to be some sort of huge snake. Shall we call the others?"
The doctor was childishly reluctant to share their discovery.
"No, not yet."
He cautiously approached the huge, snake-like form.
I think it's dead." Barbara was relieved. "It's a fantastic size."
The doctor peered thoughtfully up at the monstrous shape.
"No eyes? No distinct head as such?"
He reached up and prodded the thing.
"The skin is interesting."
Barbara shuddered.